Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Tuesday night call, this celebration of life. It's so exciting to be sitting here in my home office and look through the double doors into the family room across the way and see everybody loading up their hamburgers and hot dogs and sitting in to listen to this call here live from our home tonight. And for all of you who are around the country, we welcome you to this experience. We take this occasion very seriously. A lot of consideration goes into how we should handle these calls on Tuesday night so that we're in touch with where you are right now. It is so important that we don't just teach principles, that we make those principles relevant for your life. So we're going to do our very best tonight to serve you, the individual who is listening to this call. So sit back with us, find a quiet place, pull out a pen and a piece of paper. If you own these tools, you are able to access these recordings and download practicums and download the transcription of the material. I want to make sure you have those opportunities. Take the time to read this material in between our sessions and make notes and highlight certain things that you'd like to remember. It's very important that we just keep driving this deeper and deeper into our souls so that we can master these qualities of becoming an intentional creator. An intentional creator is someone who believes that they must actively participate in this process, to be conscious, to take a look at their strengths and fully maximize those gifts that they've been given, honoring both the gift and the giver of the gift. They also recognize they have challenges, and they're willing to take those on and charge into them and find out what's necessary, the changes required to become the person they would like to become, to create the things they'd like to have in their lives. An intentional creator, in short, embraces these principles, engages in life, connects with people, creates value everywhere they go, and eventually contributes to the world. They want to be actively involved in this process. So welcome to the call. If there's anyone who would like to share tonight, it's on mute right now, but you can come off the mute by pressing star 6 and just saying, Dave, and I'll call on you. This is your session. If I say something or share something and it's unclear, just know if it's unclear to you, it's probably unclear to others. Be courageous and come out on the line and just say, Dave, help me understand this a little better. Or, oh, yeah, I've experienced that. Could you help me see this a little better? We'll make this live for you. So feel free to come off. If you are coming off of mute, we just ask you to press star 6 and go back on to mute so that we can keep the call as clean as possible. We are recording it because there are almost as many people who can't be here on Tuesday nights because of other commitments who will be listening to this tomorrow morning, so we want to keep the call as clean as possible. Well, we welcome everyone who's visiting with us for the first time. It is great to have you with you. We welcome you to this event. We want you to sit back and just be with this. Find out, does this speak to my soul? Is this where I'm living? Are these the things I'm really dealing with? Not what I present out there to the world, not for everybody else to see, but is this the private stuff I'm dealing with? Is this really what's holding me back? And if it is, get back to the person who invited you here tonight, the coach or the affiliate, and make sure you get these tools in your life. We want to make sure that we get these things to as many people as possible. We are living in a very difficult and challenging time. I've got somebody who is not on mute. Could you press star 6 for us, please? Okay, I put this on master mute for a few moments, and I'll take it off a little bit later so that we can ask questions. We want to welcome you, all of you who are with us tonight, especially those who are guests, to see if this speaks to you. Well, tonight we're going to take on a very special challenge. When we master this great strength, the strengths we're going to talk about tonight, there is a shift of such profoundness in our lives. This is the area, this is the reason why I was motivated to create the 6 qualities of an intentional creator. This is what motivated the online courses, this very subject tonight. Now, we spent the last 2 weeks talking about connecting with people. and why it's so important for us to know that everyone has a wall, and that we take down those walls of resistance with our empathy and our intuition, that we notice what's important to people. Remember that discussion? We notice people. The red flags, green flags game, where we're looking for what's good in a person. Many of you were playing that this week. How easy was it to see those green flags? How hard was it to avoid those red flags, those things were wrong? Did we notice the good? Did we notice what was important and actually verbalize it? Did we listen for doors, those verbal hints about what someone's thinking, and step into their world and take down their walls, create a safe place? Did we find out this information that's important to them and try on their dreams before we just went and shared with them everything we want to sell or have them follow or fix them? Did we actually try on our own advice, see if it fit well with us? Would we really want to do what we're about to tell them to do? If not, let us not do it. If it's appropriate and it's the right time, then let us gain agreement and share it with them. We talked a little bit about partnership last week, that when we care about people, we begin to develop a partnership with a power greater than ourselves, and the conception of that power is up to you. I have no judgment about it. Give it whatever name you would like. I don't believe that it gets offended. Recognize that power and its role in helping people find joy and happiness, because you are about to engage in the very same mission. Now, with our hearts set on serving people and bringing abundance into their lives, and I said to a person today, it is so much more important that we focus on building people instead of building companies. Companies are built as we build people, but let us focus on building people instead of just companies. And so with that in our hearts, it is time for us to take on this next area. This area is where we spend most of our time. Sometimes we're aware of the thought processes that occur in this space, and often we are not. Often we're just unconscious, and we let our thought processes control our life. In this space is where all of our thoughts about thinking occur, just thinking about thinking. How do we feel about what we do? What motivates us? Do we wake up in the morning and have this overwhelming sense of have to and should and must and fear of consequences if we don't get out of bed and go take on the day, and everything is a burden and it's stressful and it's tiring and it's exhausting? How many people have been there? I know I occasionally go in that space. Anybody else? Yes. What would happen if we made the conscious choice, and it is a conscious choice, to jump out of bed in the morning and do what we do because we want to, and we get to, and we choose to. Want to, get to, choose to. It's called acting on your own moral authority. Now, some people might say, well, I'm a religious person. I act on God's authority. I don't disagree with that. However, wouldn't it be very interesting if you believe in God that you obeyed Him because you wanted to, because you chose to? It was an internal choice. It wasn't a mandate. It was a personal decision. Same thing when you face those demons in the morning that want to be heavy and tired and exhausted. We say, stop it, stop it. You may not want to, but I do. I, the real me, stepping back from all this noise in my head, I want to. I get to. I choose to. Here's a recommendation. Get a 3x5 card. Get a bunch of them. And write those phrases. I want to. I get to. I choose to. Then pick one of your favorite sentences from the scrolls. I'll give you some of mine. I will command, and I will obey my own command. Isn't that a great line out of Scroll 9? I will act now. So you think about this card. I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command and I obey my own command. Sit it next to your bed on your nightstand. Morning when you open your eyes, which will most likely happen before your alarm goes off, and then you look at the clock and say, I got 15 more minutes, so you try to sleep. It's really miserable time. Look at that card, pick it up, and start reading it. I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command and I will obey my own command. You know, you can almost hear this pressure coming. I want to, I get to, I choose. Just keep doing it until you finally awaken this genius inside of yourself. This wonderful flame that burns inside of us that's been passed down from generations uncounted, until you can feel yourself breathing inside your soul, I want to, I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command and I will obey my own command. Another fun phrase might be, I will leap out of my bed while the failure seeks to sleep another hour. Now, there's a fun one. Pick your favorite phrase from the scrolls and put it after I want to, I get to, I choose to, then the statement from the scrolls. Put one by your bedstand. Put one by your bathroom mirror. Put one in the kitchen where you might have breakfast. Put one on the dash of your car. I went and visited a client one day, and after visiting them, went to leave the front door and realized there was a giant print, like a poster on the back of their door. I didn't see it coming in, saw it going out. I want to, I get to, I choose to. I will command and I will obey my own command. I thought, what a great exit out of the house. Imagine how we'd show up at an office or in our business, in our conversations with people, if someone cuts us off in traffic. We're awake, we're conscious. I choose to be here. I choose to step into people's worlds. I choose to honor people. Can you imagine? Critical measurement in this area we're discussing. Second piece. It's called being honorable. That's called self-direction, by the way. It's the third measurement down on the right-hand side of your assessment. So you take a peek and see how yours is doing. The next one is honorable. Honorable is the seventh measurement down. Honorable says, do I have a realistic expectation of what I'm capable of doing? Now, on one hand, I just may be spinning my wheels and exhausted. It's possible. What's more likely is that there's an unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. No matter how good I do it, it'll never be good enough. Now, some people look at that as a motivation. I'm not sure that is. I think the energy around that kind of a concept is very negative. I believe in being excellent. Excellent. Not perfect. Perfection can't be reached. Excellence can in everything we do. I will perform, and I will perform excellently. Honorable. Now we get to the culprit. This next measurement is called goal-oriented. So many people see this and say, I am goal-oriented. Why is it orange or red? Well, 97% of those who are seeking to create something magnificent with their lives has this measurement, orange or red. Now, if it's not, don't panic. If you have it orange or red, it's going to be very critical that tonight we learn how to manage it. I want you to envision a fire hose. Everybody seen a fire hose? I mean, you got like two or three firemen holding it, because if you don't, it would take one guy and just flip him over the shoulder. I mean, it would just throw them around like a rag doll. Huge pressure. And let's point that fire hose straight ahead. You got it? There's the fire hose. Now, I want you to turn the fire hose over here to the left. Over here on the left are all the destructive ways we can use this thought process. You see, this thought process engages in, when it's balanced, in constructive thought. Constructive thought that ignites our passion, because we get inspired ideas, impressions, solutions to problems. You'll hear me say that many times tonight. Ignites our passion, drives our action. However, when we use it destructively, it is so powerful, it's like a fire hose. And it's going into directions that just crush and cripple people. Now, many of you are on the line. Many of you heard me talk about this before. You've been through this measurement. However, tonight, this isn't about intellectualizing this information. It's about, on the way home from here, if you're at my home, or lying in bed tonight, wherever it is that you have these thought processes, that you consciously make a choice to use it differently. Here's the truth. As things get more and more difficult in our economy, and they are getting difficult, up in the Sacramento area this last weekend, they held an expo for NACA. Now, this is an organization that brings together the major banks into one facility, and people can come and apply for, right there on the spot, loan modifications. I had a friend who went, wanted to get a loan modification on their home, their residence. This person went there and stayed all day Saturday, slept in a lawn chair around a fire Saturday night, stayed all day Sunday to maintain her position in the line, slept in a lawn chair that night, and was there until about 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon when she finally got served. She said there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people who needed loan modifications. In the end, she found out she couldn't get one. Her loan from a major bank had been sold to a company that had insurance. She defaulted, they got paid anyway, and they got her house. No hope. Not for her. But there were for 3 people out of the 500 talking to that particular bank that day. 3. Things are pretty tough out there. Now, I don't want to get all discouraged about that. I just know we don't have a whole lot of time to be discouraged. But the pain causes us to do something even at a higher level than we have been doing it in the past. And it's called escaping and avoiding. It's where we're sitting here in the now, and we skip ahead in time to a magical time when we are finally, whatever it is we desire, rich, out of debt, whatever it might be, and then we vividly, vividly imagine what it's going to be like then. Now, I emphasize this point, and I'll reemphasize it, and I'll teach this till I'm dead and buried, or till this problem is finally resolved in our nation. Because of the power of this fire hose, when goal-oriented is red or orange, the vividness with which we go into this escape and avoid routine, the very same brain chemistry and brain circuitry that would be present if we were actually there is activated. Now think about this. The mind absolutely believes this is now reality. Challenge. The vividness is okay. The challenge is where this vividness has occurred, where this concrete, non-negotiable mental monolith, this expectation, this concrete condition for happiness, where it's been grown in our mind, functions dualistically. That means all or nothing, right or wrong, black or white, life or death. There is no compromise in this area of the brain. It's called a systemic thought. So think about this. The thought process, because it's a fire hose, it's so vivid. It's now built this mental monolith, this rock that in and of itself is a mountain. And it is non-negotiable. Now let's add the third element. Because of the way the brain functions, we're getting a counterfeit form of pleasure from it. The sympathetic nervous system is releasing norepinephrine. Feels good. could even be crying, lying in our bed, imagining what it's like to give our parents that car they never got, or pay off their house, or be able to help all of our siblings, or the neighborhood, or the nation, or all the poor people of the world, whatever it is we're fantasizing about. Whatever that is, we've got this wonderful norepinephrine coursing through our system. So write this down. Number one, vivid expectation. Expectation. If you study that word, it means concrete condition for happiness. So write that down. Concrete condition for happiness. First big challenge. Two, write dualistic. It is all or nothing. And the question really boils down to this. What's the likelihood that what we have just fantasized about is going to show up tomorrow? What's the likelihood that something in reality is going to interrupt and be less than that expectation? Very, very high. 100%, matter of fact. So that's two. Three, we've got norepinephrine coursing through our body. It feels good. It is a drug. It is an extremely powerful drug in the category of a morphine or a heroin. It's that powerful. It's very addictive. If you have been escaping to that place, it's going to take a new habit to replace the old habit, because you can't just stop it. It won't stop. You're addicted to it. You must replace it with a better and new habit, as Og tells us in Scroll 1. Just know, this is so painful for so many. Matter of fact, we've got a training tonight at 9 o'clock, and one person they wanted to have in this training would not join the training because she refused to believe that she could not manifest tangible reality by mentally, vividly visualizing. She is so committed. It's like those in the Dark Ages who believed if they could just focus on that coal long enough, they would turn into gold. Never did. Some of them spent their fortunes trying to get coal to turn into gold. Alchemy, they called it. What we have discovered is there's some truth in that if you take that coal and put it under extreme pressure and heat, it's called perturbation, just, tremendous heat, what could you turn it into? Yes, a diamond. Actually more valuable than gold. But it takes pressure and heat and time. Oh, it's tragic when we hang on to this. It's tragic when irresponsible people teach it, because it is killing people, and I mean literally. They reach a point of such desperation they take their lives. I have heard too many grown men cry out in tears, "But Dave, I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it?" Well, you can have it in your mind, because there it is, absolutely real. Here, in tangible reality, nope. Can't deposit that mental visualization, that vivid, no matter how vivid it is, no matter how much attention, you can't go down to the bank and deposit that fantasy dollar. You can't drive that fantasy car or live in that fantasy house. Now, I want to emphasize before we go any further, so it's very clear, vivid visualization done correctly manifests some magnificent things, and I'll talk about those in a minute. Vivid visualization is a critical part of creation, absolutely essential part of creation. But when we use vivid visualization, this fire hose of an orange or red measurement and goal-oriented over here on the left, and we engage in fantasy, what happens? is when life shows up differently, the body goes into an autonomic response. In other words, it comes to defend the expectation. It's so real. It's so real to the mind, the body responds to defend it. Imagine that. It is so real. Yeah, why can't I touch it? Why can't I taste it? No wonder people cry out, because it's so real to the mind. The body's actually doing something. It starts releasing cortisol. That lightning bolt in our gut, that little thing at the top of our brainstem, the amygdala, starts sending out fear dendrites and shutting down our brain, our empathy, our practical judgment, centralizing all of that energy in the fight or flight center. And we are rendered emotionally paralyzed, often incapable of doing anything productive. Until tonight, for some of you listening for the first time, we are left with few options. If we stay in this pattern of the fire hose of the left, we re-engage in fantasy to get another drug fix, another injection of norepinephrine, another euphoric feeling, all of it in another dimension. And everything between here and there, we just want to skip. We don't like where we are, and we don't like what's between here and there. We just want to be there. Well, I've got some great news for you in a minute. Some powerful news of how to create that dream in tangible reality as quickly as it can possibly be created. But it'll never be created by skipping ahead and escaping and avoiding. Never. Those who stick to that belief become increasingly broke, broken, and angry. Tonight, let us not get discouraged by this. Let us just stop doing the same thing over and over and over again. Let us stop engaging in this nonsense called fantasy that is just driving cortisol into our body, and cortisol is well documented. It exacerbates diabetes. It causes hypertension. It wears out your cells, causes adrenal fatigue and adrenal failure. It's even linked to some forms of cancer. It wears our body out. It is beating us up. And it's the only reward we get when we go into that fantasy. Oh, we get a moment of high from the norepinephrine. But we'll spend most of our time in discouragement and frustration and overwhelm. And when it shows up, look in your assessment to the second measurement down, grateful. We are not grateful. We're resentful. I thought by now I would be richer. I thought by now it would be easier. I thought by now I'd be further ahead. I thought by now it would be something different than it is. Wherever we are tonight is where we are. This is the truth of it. If we don't like it, escaping to the future to somehow try to create it will never create it. I'm about to show you how to actually create it. If you don't like where you are, and you don't like what's happening around you, and you want something different, then this next half hour is for you. So let's go to work. I want you to take this fire hose, and I want you to start swinging it to the right, past the middle, and all the way over here to the right. We're going to use its full force to do something very constructive. I'm going to do everything in my power tonight to have this resonate with you at a different level than it ever has before. I opened this session by telling you that when we start focusing on blessing the lives of other people, we are in partnership with a power greater than ourselves. Some of the ideas and solutions to some of the challenges you currently face need to come from a source beyond you, a power beyond you. I've shared this with you before. I still remember. That night I screamed. I longed to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. Well, I needed to take the fire hose and move it to the right. That's changing my cry from fantasizing and wondering why it's not happening, living in frustration when it doesn't. Move the fire hose over here and change the cry. I love how Og talks about this in scroll number 10. He knew what this was all about. He'd been in this space many times. He said, who has not cried out when confronted with danger, death, or mystery beyond his normal experience or comprehension? Who is not? Well, for crying out, please give me financial freedom. Please give me time freedom. Please give me my Learjet and my vacation home, or no more debt, no more pain. He doesn't answer that one. It doesn't happen. Og taught us this in Scroll 10. He says, never will I pray. I hope you're okay with that word, pray, meditate, think. Pray for material things of the world. I'm not calling to a servant to bring me food. I'm not ordering an innkeeper to provide me with room. Never will I seek delivery of gold, love, good health, petty victories, fame, success, or happiness. It's like, what's left? And he gives us the answer. Only for guidance will I pray. And that I may shall be shown the way to acquire these things. And my prayer will always be answered. I'm not going to ask for gold or garments or even opportunities equal to my ability. Instead, guide me so that I may acquire new ability equal to my new opportunities. So as we move this fire hose over here to the right, what we are engaging in is a connection with a power greater than ourselves. And using our mind continuously through the day, asking for guidance. Now, I've given you five very simple things to do, and I'm going to go through them very quickly tonight so you can have each one of them. Number one, as I'm seeking this guidance, I'm going to go into this very vivid thought process of mine and go into the future. Most likely only to the next event. Let's say, for an example, tonight I've been in mental rehearsal about this event. This Friday I'm speaking in Iowa. I am still in mental rehearsal. I learned something magnificent at 5 o'clock this morning that I didn't have in a slide. I had to go change a slide in my presentation. Oh my goodness. Because when we go vividly into the future and we start thinking about an event, we're basically saying, would you give me some guidance? Help me to see the people that will be there. Help me to see what they need. How can I serve them better? In your business, think about people who report to you. Think about team members. Think about prospects if you're in the sales business. How can I serve them? I haven't told this story for a while. It's in the material. I still vividly remember speaking at a meeting several years ago at Little America, Grand America, I believe it was. And I was sitting at my desk pondering this event. I want you to think about this. Put yourself in this position. You've got an event coming up. Just think of one right now. Just write down a piece of paper. What's the next important event coming up in your life? It's a meeting, time with the family. What might it be? Just write it down. Because I went to this event, and you go there with me right now. Just go to that event. See yourself there. And you say, well, am I making this up? Well, we didn't have to make up the Ferrari. You don't have to make up the leather or the wheels when you're in fantasy. You don't need to make up the Learjet or the white sand beach or the scuba diving. It all just unfolds because we have such a desire to escape. It just unfolds. When we're in mental rehearsal, our desire is to serve another person. Yeah, but I've only been thinking about myself, and that's why we just got done with Quality One. Not done with it. We started with it. Connecting with people, we start there because that is where our heart needs to be for this to work. Our desire is to serve this person or serve these people. How can I show up? And all of a sudden, you might see yourself bringing something to the meeting that you haven't thought of before. In my experience, I had a very vivid moment. I got this impression there was somebody in the room who had taken all the money they had in the world to get there, and they didn't even know how they're going to get home. And they came for an answer. And as I'm in my mind giving this speech, I stopped. And I said, are you here? I explained what I was feeling. And a person on my right-hand side, about a third of the way down, stood up. And I invited them to come up on the stage. And I gave them a card with my name and said, go to the back of the room. Give this to Ramona, and she'll sign you up for the coaching program. And if you will follow it to the T, it will be the answer to the prayer you've been asking when you came here today. She was weeping. I was weeping. We hugged. She sat back down. I didn't finish the speech. I kind of came to sitting at my desk, and I had tears streaming down my cheeks. Was that fantasy? Was I doing all of that to feel grand and great, like I'm all inspired or something? I went, no, that wasn't what I was feeling. This felt so real. Was I just taught something? Well, 10 days later, when I got on the stage to give that speech, I had that same impression come over me, and I stopped, and I explained what had happened 10 days before sitting at my desk. And I said, are you here? And a third of the way back on the right-hand side, she stood up. If there is a power greater than us, that power knows who needs what. Are you willing to surrender to that discovery? Are you willing to use this fire hose that can be so vivid to connect with a power that is so clear, who knows the needs of everyone, and have that power answer for you what you could do to better serve that person? Because what you're doing is noble. It's consecrated. If you're doing something with a product that blesses people's lives, the work alone is consecrated. You have every right to get an inspired idea, an inspired impression, an inspired answer to a challenge, a solution to a problem. You have every right. If you have chosen to take this fire hose and move it from the left over to the right, and now you're constructively using that vivid visualization to mentally rehearse a future event to get instructions, surrender to it. Don't force it. Just be with it. Let it unfold. See what you discover. Now, many of you have been here before. You've given a speech before. Or you've thought about an important meeting before and got ideas. Like this morning, wow, I need to talk about this. Where is that slide going to fit? It needs to fit right there. I can't wait till Friday because I know when I deliver that slide to that audience, it will speak to somebody in that room. I'll just know it. And there's a good chance they'll come up after and say so. Can you play at that level? Well, you might have some issues about this power and some misconceptions or some prejudices from childhood or, you know, all that. Just let all that go. Just let all that go. There is a power greater than you. can you connect with it? And so vividly, with this is such a gift. If you use it this way, that power can give you an idea. And I'll tell you what, you've heard me say this. If we have you wired to a functional MRI with electrodes around your brain, and one of those ideas come, parts of your brain light up you normally don't use. It ignites something inside of us. It's like a lightning bolt from eternity coming through our very being. Now, if you believe that God is within you, that's okay, too. It awakens something inside of you you haven't touched for a while. Whew, wow. And all of a sudden, you're feeling passion, a willingness to suffer for something that you love. And it drives you forward. How exciting is this? Would you like to live in that space? Or would you like to just keep escaping and avoiding and fantasizing and having catastrophizing trips and back to fantasy and back to catastrophe and back to fantasy, back to catastrophe, euphoria, discouragement, euphoria, depression? Do we want to live here? Or do we want to live over here? Connected to a power greater than ourselves, actively, constructively seeking guidance how to acquire these things. Through the service of others. How can we do this? Well, that's the first way, mental rehearsal. The next one's really simple. You wake up in the morning and you simply say, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. What does that mean? It means instead of being over here on this left-hand side wanting to go into escape and avoid fantasy and spend my lunch hour in Bermuda sitting in Salt Lake City, I say, no, I'm not going there today. Instead, I'm going to seek inspiration of who I can serve. Not how, but who I can serve. And I'm going to take my mind and I'm going to start cycling through names. Because the alternative is an activity that's going to bury me in discouragement. Am I wasting my time going through those names? Absolutely not. Because I'm now working with a power greater than myself to get inspiration. Okay, let me go through this. There's this person I know, then I met that person. Well, in high school, this person. In college, that person. At church, I know this person. You start going through names. You go through names. And you're just with each name for a moment. With each name for a moment. With each name for a moment. All of a sudden, a name just pops off the page. Or if not, a few minutes later, one just comes into your mind. Some of the most sacred experiences I have had in my lifetime have come when one of those names has come to my mind and I have called them. Are you okay? Oh yeah, I'm doing great! Then why can't I get you off my mind? Silence. Then all of a sudden, do you really want to know? Yes. And they share. And you will know in short order precisely why you were inspired to call them. Because there will be something about your life that has uniquely prepared you for that very moment in time. You know exactly the question to ask. You could save a life. You could just lift somebody in a moment of discouragement. Your hands, your voice, serving another. This is what we want to be able to do. Seek inspiration. Bear with me just for a moment. Now, we want to go to the third one. How many of you have ever built something into your home, like a remodeled bathroom or something? Now, every one of these examples, mental rehearsal, seeking inspiration, these are conscious choices. My mind wants to go over in catastrophe. My mind wants to go over in overwhelm. It wants to focus on my house is underwater. It wants to focus on the car I can't pay for. It wants to focus on the things I don't have. It wants to focus on a challenge in a relationship. Not going there today. I'm going to consciously, mentally rehearse. I'm going to consciously seek inspiration. I'm going to consciously explore possibilities without making tangible commitments. This is one of the greatest gifts that you can have, is the ability to walk through something in great detail before you ever make a decision and actually execute on it. Before you pick up a hammer, before you pick up a phone, before you place an ad, before you buy a car, before you remodel a house, you can go through it all and minimize mistakes because you haven't yet made tangible commitments. They're very real. With this gift, this fire hose, you can do it in great detail. Now I'm going to emphasize again, when we're over here on the left and this fire hose is on destruction, oh, that norepinephrine feels really good. Ooh. We move this fire hose over here, we're mentally rehearsing, we're exploring, we're seeking inspiration. We get that inspired idea, that inspired impression, that inspired solution to a problem. And when it ignites us, that's the first touch we get. It's not quite, well, there's many times it is, but not always as dramatic as norepinephrine. But then we actually begin the process of taking that passion and creating. We'll be talking about this in a couple of weeks, where we're driving down that path, actually creating it in tangible reality. And we begin to have this sense of accomplishment. We have this sense of being known and knowing, of trusting and being trusted. Our self-esteem is healing. We're finding peace of mind in the process. I can tell you right now that being able to deposit a real check in a real bank account is a whole lot better than norepinephrine-driven fantasy. Living in your dream home, in tangible reality, is far greater than having a fantasy house on the biggest hill and the biggest house and the biggest mansion in the world. We will take reality anytime over fantasy. Your great leaders in business never spend a moment in fantasy. Why would they? They want the real deal. Now, is the real deal just manifest magically by mental rehearsal? No. But what is manifest, make sure this is clear, is an inspired, key word, inspired, because inspire means to breathe life into us. An inspired idea, impression, or solution to a problem breathes life into us. It ignites our passion, our willingness to suffer for something we love, and we begin the process of creation, and that same power shows up here and does some special things we'll talk about in a couple weeks, making creation happen as fast as it possibly can happen. But not in fantasy. Now you have three of them: mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration. I'm going to mention this next one briefly because next week we're going to spend the entire evening on goal setting. We're going to master this process. Goal setting is going into the future and getting crystal clear about what it is you're going to create. It's getting clear about everything it's going to take to create it. Working our way back to the next year, the next quarter, the next month, the next week, the next day, so that each day the next activity we're doing is the next millimeter of creating that vision. Hogg tells us to keep our eyes on the goal above our head so that we don't stumble on those obstacles at our feet. Yes. That ignited our passion. But a as we'll discover next week, sometimes that vision in the future isn't quite enough to sustain our effort today doing something that's difficult. So we want to introduce another principle. What can I create? Let's write this down. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve others? Three powerful questions. We can take the most boring, mundane, repetitious thing, like making cold calls if we have to do that in our business. It might be your least favorite thing at first. But what can I create today? How can I create that? How would this serve? We start to see people's lives and not names on a piece of paper. We start to wonder what's going on, what kind of pain they're feeling, what kind of joy they're experiencing, what are their goals, what are their desires? Just using cold calls as an example. And all of a sudden, we're not looking at names on paper. We're looking at people with lives. And we call and talk to people with lives. And our objective is to serve them. So we want to know if what we have will be of service to them. So we're not ashamed, we're not afraid to call them. And all of a sudden we find ourselves having fun doing something we used to not want to do. Again, we've used the same fire hose applied to this very specific event. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Again, next week we're going to spend on goal setting. Relationships. How to get a relationship. How to grow your business. I'll give you some examples next week of how to actually go through this process. So if you've ever wanted to know how to do goal setting in a way that creates inspired ideas, ignites your passion, and drives your focus, discipline, effort, and action, you'll want to be here next Tuesday night. We don't do to-do lists. That's what New Year's resolutions are. They're just to-do lists. All these things I need to do. I need to lose 10 pounds. I need to do this. I need to do that. No. What's the vision? Let's get it. Let's let the vision drive the action. Otherwise, exercising today may never happen. Last of the five is called problem solving. This one's pretty natural for this thought process. I don't know how many of you have been in a situation where you worked with someone and they did something really foolish and we said, "What were you thinking?" If anybody's had a teenager, there's most likely been a moment when we're going to say that. What were you thinking? Well, the truth is they weren't. They just weren't. For some people, it is painful to think, to really think through things, to discipline their mind to do that. With this fire hose turned to the right, it is in a perfect position to be handed a challenge. Remember, it's dualistic. All or nothing, win or lose, right or wrong. It will not stop churning till it has an answer. You want to be able to be careful that you don't give it unsolvable riddles. It'll stew forever. But give it a challenge and then just turn it loose consciously. I'm going to turn this over to you tonight. I'm trying to figure out a solution for this. Can you just work on it, and when you got it, come back to me, would you please? You can have that kind of conversation with your mind before you go to sleep at night. Boom, 3 o'clock in the morning, you sit up in bed with the solution. There it is, and it's brilliant. Nobody's thought of this. Oh, wow. This one doesn't take a lot of energy because your mind is already ready to churn on it. Just consciously give it the challenge. So there we have it. We can spend our time over here in fantasy, escaping and avoiding, trying to get things to be easy. And we just end up making them really, really hard. Trying to function while the thought processes are over there. And if our habit is having a fire hose pointed to the left and we have a problem in our life, it just makes this even worse. We are living in a nation right now where the majority of the population is over here. They're not even getting to fantasy anymore. They're just living in discouragement and despair. Spiraling out of control with worst case scenarios. It's called catastrophizing. And they're creating self-fulfilling prophecies. And think, if we think about it negatively long enough, it'll actually turn out bad. However, if we turn the fire hose over here, and we mentally rehearse, we seek inspiration, we explore possibilities, we plan and goal set, we problem solve when we're here, we get inspired ideas, inspired impressions, inspired solutions that ignite our passion. Passion that will drive our focus, our discipline, our effort and action way beyond we would ever work if we're working for somebody else on a time clock. We just plow, never counting the costs. Because it's not about cost, it's about achievement of that vision in tangible reality. When we do this, our self-esteem heals. We connect with a power greater than ourselves. We begin to trust our impressions. And we are entrusted with them. Something very sacred happens. Magical, mystical, if you want to call it that, that's great. Beyond this planet. So what do you want? What do you want to create with your life? What is it? Can you focus on serving people to accomplish it? Can you give up somebody just giving it to you and seek guidance of how you can acquire it? Can you ask that question? Get the inspiration that will ignite the passion so it's not boring and mundane and repetitious anymore when you're doing the work of it? Because I submit to you tonight in closing that these are your two options. There's not a third one. When we choose success, and that's what we say we want, we don't get to choose what we do and don't do. Success requires a pattern, and it leaves clues. So if you want success, let us make the decision tonight to turn right, turn that fire hose over here, and begin disciplining it on vivid visualization that can connect with the power to give us those inspired ideas. May you, like you never have before. When you're lying in bed tonight and your mind wants to go over there on that left-hand side and have one of those fantasies, stop and say, no, tonight I'm going to vividly visualize that next event. When you're driving to work in the morning and your mind wants to wander over there on the left, don't go there. In discouragement, despair, and or fantasy, I'm going to mentally rehearse the next event in this day and just start to taste the possibility. Test this. Test this numerous times this week and see what starts to happen. Because the more you will engage, the more you will receive. And the more you act on what you receive, the more you'll be trusted with even more and even more. I promise you this is true. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't have to make the decision. Not going there today. There's so much going on in this world, it could yank any of us over there. And as Og says in scroll number 6, a great line, he says this to us. He said, henceforth I know that only those with inferior ability can always be at their best. I am not inferior. There will be days when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. Well, that's the result of pointing that fire hose to the left. Let us keep moving it over here. Point it on constructive thought process that can actually result in creation. Intentional creation. Thanks, everybody. We look forward to next week. Come prepared. I want you to read that section or listen to that section on goal setting. You can find it there in constructive thought. In the section, go to quality number 2. open up your index, go to constructive thought, go down to goal setting, click on and listen to this section in preparation for next week. Come prepared to know, to learn how to create goals that will drive your life. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.